Joining me on today's The Year of the Woman, I have Anna Morris, who has a one-woman show at the Voodoo Rooms, which is part of the Free Fringe. It's called Bombastic. It's on at 4:40 every day until the 26th, excluding the 15th and the 22nd. Anna, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
I just wanted to start by saying, actually, we have quite a bit in common with both of our one-woman shows because we both open with a Mary Poppins soundtrack. And one of the things that I wanted to ask first was just if you could just give everyone at home, people listening, a lowdown on how you created Bombastic and where it all started.
So Bombastic is a best of show. So this is the best of four shows I've done at the Fringe, and I'm a character comic, so it's basically I've handpicked my favourite characters from across all my shows, and I picked four of them that I love to do, and I've just put them all together in one show and sort of shuffled them all around a bit and added some new bits in and lots of ridiculous props and tech things that I've got a bit carried away with, and then I've created Bombastic, which is my kind of greatest hits best of show.
And what made you call it Bombastic?
A couple of reasons. First of all, it was a song that I really liked by Bonnie McKee called Bombastic. It's just a really fun, quite empowering song. And I kept listening to it. I thought, oh, it's such a fun song. It's a really good title as well. Then I realised that a lot of my characters are quite bombastic. And bombastic basically means that they just talk. They think they've got a kind of illusion of self-importance. They think they're a bit deluded. They all think what they've got to say is quite interesting and they're quite high status. But actually what they're saying is a lot of rubbish, basically. And that's the kind of, I thought that title goes really well. And then when we did the photo shoot, the image ended up being this ridiculous image of me just looking really slightly annoyed, and it doesn't really go with the title, but we thought that was quite funny. So we thought if we did a really powerful image, it would look a bit like I'm sort of trying to look like I think I'm great, but actually the picture is me sort of snarling slightly, looking a bit like, oh, I can't believe I've got to do the Fringe again, this is ridiculous. So overall it just all sort of tied together weirdly.
And so you say you have all these different characters and you chose your favourite four or your best four. Why were those four your favourite? What is it about them?
It's just how fun I am. Do you know what, actually it's the ones I enjoy doing the most. It's the ones that are the really silly sort of playful ones that I enjoy doing. I think the main thing as a performer, you've got to enjoy doing it and you've got to be having fun when you're up there, because if you're having fun, everyone else is having fun. And I do love all my characters, but these particular four, they're all so silly. I just really enjoy performing them. So I just picked them all purely for that reason. One of them is my Bridezilla character, Georgina, who is the one that everyone knows the most. She's the one that a lot of people come to the show for. I had a show with her a couple of years ago that was just her wedding show, and that's a really silly fun character. She's just an absolute bitch and really snobby and ridiculous, and I just thought quite fun to do her doing a wedding speech this time. Then there's Janine, who's a cruise ship host. That's really silly and really fun. It's a great one to open with, because immediately you say to the audience, you're now on a cruise ship. All my characters have a world, and all the characters, each character when I change, I say to the audience, you're now this, you're now a TV studio audience, you're now on a cruise ship, you're now at a wedding. It builds a little world, and they just transport to each place, and then the character hopefully brings that world alive. And those four characters do that really well, I think.
I saw the show today. It is absolutely hilarious, and a lot of it seems to be like it's based on improv. Did you do any improv training? Like, where did your improv skills come from?
I think it just came from a lot of experience and practice, I think. I have done some training. I've done some training with the FA, the Free Association, which I can really recommend, who are great. And that helped my confidence. But the improv, do you know what, it came from doing my first show like 6 years ago, I think. And it came from me doing a run at the Fringe and having a very heavily scripted multi-character show. And I realised, like, five shows in, that I was getting really bored and I was doing the same script every single day. So I started messing around with it. I started going, oh, maybe I can just, like, be a bit brave and start chatting to the audience in character. And then the audience seemed to like that more than the actual script. So I ended up just improvising way more. And then my second show after that, I decided to improvise most of it. And that was the wedding show, where I got the audience to help me create a wedding. And I realised that I just found it more fun and it made the run less boring, because you're doing 22 shows or something like that, and I find doing the same show every day, it just gets a bit tedious. You're on autopilot. But improvising means you don't know what's going to happen. The audience like it because they can come back again and they know it's going to be a different show. So I think a lot of it is just I just am quite ballsy and I just like chatting to people in character, and the more I do it, the more confident I get, and the show gets longer and longer.
What would you say to people, though, who would love to improvise? Like they, like you said, they have scripted pieces, they would love to improvise, but there's that whole initial fear of getting over the fact that, you know what, I'm just going to throw this script in the air and see what happens. How do you start with that?
I think, first of all, you just need to do it in baby steps and not expect yourself to be able to do, you know, like a massive chunk of improv. Like, even just a throwaway line is often a start. Like, you forget that that is actually improv. So I think it all starts when things go wrong. So if something goes wrong in your show, like the lights suddenly go out, or there's a weird guy in the audience shouting stuff at you, like all these things have happened to me, or something falls down, like that's the fun. That, and if you go with it, and you just, often the remark you make or the way you save it or the way you get out of it is your improv. And I think if you start thinking of it like that, then you're probably doing it already without even knowing it. I think if you just do it in baby steps, and each time you do the show or each time you do a set, leave like a little gap and see if there's a gap where you can just start chatting to people. And if you don't feel it's working, just pull back and slip back into your script. And I also think the main thing is, especially if you're doing character comedy, the only way you can do it really is if you know that character inside out and you know exactly how that character would react in any situation. And I think that's the key to knowing you've got a good character. Like, I've got some characters that I don't feel confident enough to improvise with. I feel like if I did them, I would be struggling if I suddenly started to have to improvise in character. But these four characters as well I picked because I know exactly how those characters would react. And at some point I've done those characters and someone's walked in late, or someone's dropped something, or someone's shouted something. And I've always, in character, dealt with it. And that's really fun because it depends on the character and how they deal with it. But if your character isn't... If you don't know your character inside out, back to front, then I don't think you're going to be able to improvise very well. So it might be that your character isn't working that well. So I think it's just about knowing who they are and why they would do certain things.
You got to tick an improv thing off your bucket list today. Someone's phone, who was sat in the front row, rang out loud while you were in one of your characters. How was that?
I really loved that, because that is the phone... I wouldn't say in every show, but a lot of the time someone's phone rings, and most of the time they turn it off before you get a chance to do anything, and there's a sort of a bit of embarrassment, but I just carry on. And I've always thought, I wonder what would happen if I answered it. And the guy was on the front row and he was struggling to get the phone, and I just thought, well, sod it, I'm just going to ask him. And then he let me, which I didn't think he would, and then I put it on speaker. But the guy, what was brilliant, it could have backfired completely, but the guy on the phone went along with it.
Yeah.
So I answered in character, and I was in character as a very bullshy, so my characters are quite high status, so actually that's quite fun, because she was just like she's Australian, she was like, oh, good day, like, and started going, I just carried on with the sketch and spoke to him, but the guy went along with it. So I don't know if he knew that his friend was in a show or what. I thought he was just going to put the phone down, and he didn't. I'm really glad I did that. But again, like, you just learn from experience. Like, that might happen again and it might go completely wrong.
Yeah.
But I would love to do that again.
It's just all part of, like, the improvisation journey, I suppose. But the one thing that really stood out to me with your show is that you have a lot of really cleverly hidden, subtle, feminist annotations within your show, which I really, really like the YouTuber thing with the mascara and the facelift and all of that. Where do you get the inspiration for that?
That particular character, so with that particular character, she's like a YouTuber influencer, and just that whole world to me I find really fascinating anyway, that people get paid to be sponsored by brands and look a certain way. And I also think it's really damaging, and I think it just scares me that people are so influenced by it and obsessed with looking a certain way. And I worked in advertising for a while, and I did sort of admin in advertising, so I kind of saw a lot of adverts and a lot of beauty, and I sort of was watching a lot of beauty adverts because we were dealing with some at the time, and I just became slightly fascinated at the wording and it sort of seems so ridiculous, like the however many signs of aging, 75 signs of aging, whatever it is, and just the pressure of going, do you look like this? You need this. And we don't need all those things. And it just really started angering me. So this character was sponsored by Bombastic Beauty. I thought, I'll tie in the name.
Yeah.
And then each advert is just a massive, ridiculous exaggeration of these adverts. So there's a product called Punch Pout, because pouts seem to be really in these fillers that people get, and the product is just a boxing glove with some lipstick on. You punch yourself in the face and your lips swell up. And then there's one called Eye Rection Mascara, which is I had a giant mascara wand made, and these giant eyelashes, and that was just this ridiculous obsession with false eyelashes. And they're all very big exaggerated things, but in the advert as well, I've got like just lines of the beginning of each ad's like, have you got eyes, have you got eyelashes, are they rubbish, are they, but it just feels like you can't win as a woman. You can't, whatever you've got, whatever you do, is just, it's always questioned by these adverts and these, and that's my way of, I'm quite angry about it, but I'm just dealing with it in an accessible, tongue-in-cheek, silly way to make people realise how stupid the whole thing is, just like by making it silly, really.
So I have three questions that I've been quick-firing to all the women that I've been interviewing over the Fringe. So I'm just going to fire them at you, and you can just do the first answer that comes into your head. If you could give your 15-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Stop worrying about what everyone thinks, because no one actually cares.
To the point. What do you wish is the one piece of advice you wish you'd have been given about the Fringe instead of having to learn it the hard way?
That would be just focus every day on your audience and making sure they're having a good time, and everything else will follow. So don't worry about industry reviews, that none of that really matters. It's the people that are in front of you that are bothered to make an effort to come to your show that are important.
I haven't had that one yet. That's super cool. Okay, and finally, if you could trade shows with any other female artist at the Fringe this year, who would it be and why?
Oh, I tell you what, it would be Jess Robinson, who I just wish I could sing like her. She's amazing. She does amazing singing impressions. She's very, very funny as well. And she can like impersonate any singer. And I would love to be able to do that. And if I could step into her shoes and have her voice just for one show, I would absolutely love that. I think she's brilliant.
Thank you very much. Anna Morris, Bombastic. It's on at the Voodoo Rooms, part of the Free Fringe, every day at 4:40, excluding the 15th and the 22nd.